The American dream is the story of something for nothing, of making someone else pay. Such a mindset explains the material lust for franchises, special metal acquisition, trading privileges, energy control, and tax evasion. All these things mean monopoly, and all monopoly is produced through legislation, while monopoly laws are born in corruption. The commercialism of the press and news media, of education, even of charity, is part of the price we pay for the special privileges created by law. Monopoly and corruption are thus cause and effect. Together they work in Congress, in our Commonwealth, and our municipalities. It is now always so. Privilege gives birth to corruption, just as the poisonous sewer breeds disease. Equal chance, a fair field and no favors, the square deal, are things of the past. They shall never again appear in the legislative halls and city council chambers of our nation. For these things mean labor for labor, value for value, something for something. This is why the small businessman, the retail and shop minder, the jobber, and the local manufacturer are not the businessmen whose business corrupts politics. No law can create labor value, for that would be communism. But laws can unjustly distribute the value of labor, and this is called socialism. It creates for itself a privileged socialist class, which then despoils labor of its product via taxation and legal scheming. Laws then pass on to the monopolies owned by this elite, the pennies, dimes, and dollars of labor. It may be in city franchises, it may be in levies or royalties, or in the price fixing of gas. The motive is always something for nothing. But monopoly does not end there. Even the sacrifice of our political institutions, even the shifting of taxes to the working poor, even the control of all life and industry by privilege, do not measure the whole cost of monopoly. Monopoly palsies industry, trade, and life itself. It encloses the land and the nation's resources, limits opportunity, and erects barriers about our natural assets, not to use them per se, but to exact a monopoly price from those who do. Then it closes the door to competition and labor, because, as with communism, it is fiercely jealous of that which it controls. This is why America is not only the richest, but in many respects, the most poverty-marked of nations on earth. Its enterprising spirit having been strangled once it became the abode of the global monopolists. And we know who this group is, its members never being representative of any of the nations which name them, but of the big business interests whose directors, attorneys, and agents they are. And who is the donkey slave to this monopoly? The man who is burdened with the greatest effort of the labor to maintain it. That is, the white man. The white working middle classes of America and Europe pay 90% of the total taxes paid into the coffers of their bankrupted nations, the remaining 10% covered by lenient corporate tax levies and from the few minorities with decent jobs. The welfare infrastructure sustained by the tax pool heavily underrepresents the very whites who pay into it, and nearly one quarter of these will never even cash in a pension check. As in Raskolnikov's dream, the white man is an old withered nag, harnessed to a cart full of peasants who curse at it for not pulling more than it should. As the cart continues to fill with people, the driver begins lashing the horse relentlessly. When that doesn't seem to work, the freeloaders then jump from the cart and begin beating the animal to death, until only the steam from its nostrils can be seen to move, while its motionless body bleeds out onto the newly fallen snow. The modern white slave can be likened to this wretched creature from Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment, toiling with its utmost strength, but going nowhere. This cannot last forever, and it won't, for the monopolists have designed the gambit to last just long enough to collapse the horse on the very spot where it struggled, only to be replaced by a cartload of vagrants who will then busily consume its flesh before moving on.